Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Live from Las Vegas. Welcome to the show.
Am I plugged in?
You're plugged in there.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Hey, we got a great show for you tonight. Mark Allison in with us in studio. We finally got him.
third time.
This is maybe three strikes, he would have been out.
Yeah.
So. So Mark Allison in studio, thanks for being here with us, man.
I'm happy to be here, hang out with you guys.
Wow, that's the first. So you guys never heard that, right?
Hey, Rob Street always says that to us.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here with you guys. And what narcotics are you on now?
Yeah, right. Hosting tonight, of course, the one and only J.J. Nunn.
How we doing? Oh, phone's buzzing. Important man here. Mm-hmm. Last week, unfortunately, he didn't make it, but this week he's here.
I was with him. I didn't make it either.
No, you didn't make it either.
We didn't miss you.
We missed Mark. Okay.
Yep.
So I knew I always missed the good shows when Mark's not here. Of course, the man on a mission, Gary Wyatt.
How you guys doing?
Your mission's Velcro right now. It's twiddling with his hands, keeping busy. So, great show for you tonight. A lot of cool things to talk about, I'm sure. LVMS, we just had a race this past weekend. I got a lot of questions for that race.
Oh,
it's going to be a lot of fun.
No.
I want to find out, of course, what Mark's been up to. He's been up to a lot of different things, so it's going to be fun to hear about that.
He's running that Lucas Oil series.
That's right. I guess maybe we should jump into that.
You got a
kind of a half smile. I don't know what that is.
I'm trying to figure out that new car. All four corners are on bump stops, which I've never drove a car, had a car like that. So it's been a learning curve. It's fast. I just got to figure it out. Dana's going to come up in a week for the next race and give me a hand with it. We've done okay with it. Not as good as I expected. I expected to do better, but we've only got two races, the first two.
Okay.
We won the B main on the first race, which we should have been in the B main. And then at Tucson, I can't remember where we finished, but I wound up killing both rear tires before it was over.
18th,
is that where it was? 18th,
yep.
Yeah.
Where did you get the B main at? What track was
Havasu.
That? Havasu. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
track
you're familiar with, of course.
Yeah, that one was easy. But we're taking, after the Lucas race out here, the following weekend, we're taking the late model up to State Line in Idaho.
Oh.
And they have an 8-race series. We're going to leave the car up there, and I'll fly back to race it. The guy is up there.
Cool.
That's my engine builder. He's going to take care of the car
for
me. So we'll race that series. And it finishes about the time that the late model series at Havasu starts back up. So that'll work out for me.
So that's when do they usually start? October-ish?
Yeah.
September, sometime in October. So.
But we've kind of committed to running all the Lucas races. Scheidecker and Roseanne asked if we could do that. I'm like, yeah, we can try that. So it's kind of funny because I'm a rookie to that series.
I know. I was going to ask you about that because this is a different beast you're dealing with right now. I mean, you've been in modified. You've been in late models. And you name it, you've been in it, but not really the – specifically in asphalt modified.
Yeah, this is
on bumps.
I drove somebody else's car hit and miss a few races in the Lucas series, and then I got this car. We put it together, and we decided, well, we'll go try it and see how it works out. So they said, well, you're eligible for the rookie thing.
Wow.
He's tied for second in rookie points.
I'm like, okay. I really didn't plan on signing up for it. And they said, well, you get a helmet if you win and a bunch of stuff, right? And I'm like, okay, we'll do that.
And when was the last time you were a rookie at racing?
Wasn't it wooden wheels and a horse?
Yeah, little pedal cars.
Yeah, I think we were racing in the Coliseum.
Back of the horse and buggy.
No, those are my days. I mean, chariots.
Right. He's a little bit after the chariots, Jay. So
not much.
Not much after.
I thought JJ came from the dinosaur era. Running from dinosaurs isn't really racing.
What, I raised octoplatypuses or something?
He figures you know the term for it or something.
The name of it.
Yeah. But realistically, it's been a while since you actually had a quote-unquote rookie label, I guess, on you in auto racing.
Yeah, the last time I was a rookie was when I first started running the dirt modifieds in 2000.
Wow.
And we won the IMCA Western Regional Rookie of the Year that year.
No kidding.
Yeah. So, and I actually sold one of my dirt cars.
Huh?
I sold it to an off-road racer. He's been doing pretty good with it, from what I understand. I sold it to him turnkey, ready to race. So he took it out. I think the last race he finished second with.
So you don't have a dirt car right now?
No, I have the other.
That's right. You had the 15 and
the white one.
Oh yeah, that's the white.
The old one.
One
that I have.
Okay.
That's the one I sold.
Okay.
The five.
The five car.
Yeah.
Five. Yeah.
The other one's five too, but it's black. The last car that Dan built.
Right, the black one.
Yeah, that one. That's a really nice car.
You still have that.
Yeah, he's running well with it. I told him, just be patient, wait for the track to dry up, and you'll be fine.
Where does he race?
Pahrump, and he races
Mojave?
A track over in Utah somewhere.
Oh,
he raced at Mojave. He's raced at Mojave.
Put up in Utah. No kidding.
Yeah.
Huh.
He's got a micro sprint or something they call it. He's been playing with that, too. So he's got some experience driving in the dirt. So.
He's not a rookie like you.
Hey, Mark's tied with Cameron Morga.
Right.
In the Lucas Oil.
Of course, local
series.
Local races here.
And he's only 15 points behind Mike Mitchell in the Lucas Oil Modified division.
Yeah. Their names, I don't know who they are.
You know, you said this is a different car for you, all four bumps. Have you raced anything with bump stops, just not all four bumps before?
Never.
There's a different configuration of bumps, obviously. That, you know, some guys run just two front bumps and three bumps and,
yeah,
you know, whatever configuration. But
this is the first bump stop car, period.
Period.
Everything
wow.
else I've ever drove has been conventional. My late model is still conventional.
Right. Can you feel the difference?
It's day and night.
Do you think that's a challenge? And, like, if you're, because I heard with bumps, once you're off, you're way off. You know, once you kind of got it dialed in, then you're obviously good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, with a conventional car, if you're in the ballpark, you can just hustle it around
and
drive
it
a little.
Kinda
with a bump stop car, if you're off a little bit, you're going to struggle.
Wow.
And they're very temperamental. It's what I've run across. I mean, if you miss something, you're in trouble.
Right.
The first two races, I had Dana on speed dial because I'd make a change that I think would help it, and I go out and it didn't help it. I call Dana and say, hey, I changed it. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Put it back. Put it back.
Yeah, you're thinking old school. Don't do that, though.
My only real concern with it is, I've never seen a car chew up tires like that. Because to me, on the bump stops, you're making the tire do more of the work.
Right, absolutely.
I mean, I can run my conventional car. The late model weighs 400 pounds more. And I can run it on the same track at Havasu.
Right.
I can run 200 laps before I wear out a set of tires.
Wow.
In 75 at Havasu, they were done. I mean, done. I was like, I couldn't believe it.
Right.
So, I tried being real smooth with it, so it's just something I got to get the hang of driving it and working on the setup.
You feel like you have the horsepower and everything's right there that you
Oh, yeah,
need,
the power. It's one of my old late model motors in there, so got plenty of power. Right now, the tracks we've run on Tucson, there's no traction. Havasu, there's no traction.
Right.
Be a little different here in Vegas. I might be just a little under-motored, but on that 8-inch tire, you can pretty much just bark them loose whenever you want.
So speaking of Vegas, so you're coming up to Vegas here in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
You're going to race that race?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be here. I'll race the Lucas Oil race. I think it's 2 weeks away, roughly.
You know.
Yeah, the 20th.
The 20th.
Yeah,
20th.
That's it.
Okay. That's like the Heroes Night or something like that. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
But in that series, there's a, you know, obviously the top 10 cars are typically, usually the STR guys, you know, Steve Teets, and does a great job with those Lucas Oil cars. But he also dabbles in, I guess, Super Lates and all that stuff also. But Have you ever run across anything that you think is comparable to him, his race cars?
I think the car I've got can compete if I just get it sorted out. Some of the other people that run Dana's cars up north, they run up front and win. You got to figure, you know, racing. These guys, that top 10 guys you talk about, how many years have they been in that series
that's
and
true.
Running those cars?
That's true, you know? Over and over, same tracks over,
just,
too.
Even though, like at Havasu, I had a lot of track time there, I had it in a heavier car. So I kind of struggled, you know, the familiarity with the track, that was no problem, but the dialing in of the car. Tucson, the last time I was at Tucson was back in the winter heat days. So it was like going to a totally new track again. It's been so long since I've been there. But, we kind of struggled there. I just couldn't get the handle on it. So, like I say, it's different.
But you're going in the right direction, I would imagine.
It's getting progressively better. Cool. And usually, I don't put a lot of emphasis in qualifying, but the field is so competitive that qualifying is essential that you qualify at least in the front half.
Really?
You know, before, I didn't care where I started. Right. I knew the longer the race, it was 75 or 100 laps, by the end of the race, I could get to the front.
Right. And you're talking about a full field every time in this Lucas Oil Modified Series.
Yeah.
Depending on what track you're at, 24, 27 cars or whatever
28.
It is. 28.
Down
even.
In Tucson, yeah.
So, yeah. So qualifying, I guess, would make a difference.
When the field is that competitive, they're that close, you're not going to start outside of the top 20 and go right, march your way to the front. It just, that's not going to happen.
You know, and like you said, a lot of these guys have raced these same cars and these different tracks for years. It might take a little time to kind of not only fine tune the car, but fine tune each track. You know, maybe more than a season.
Yeah, there's two tracks in this series that I have never run at. Madeira's one of them, and Kern is the other.
Wow.
All the rest of them I've at least been to once or twice. So I've been to Salt Lake numerous times. I like that track. That's a fun track.
That's what I hear. I mean, these guys have been up there before, and I know they've expressed how they like that track. I'm going to try to get up there this year and check it out. Tucson, I haven't been either, but.
Yeah, Tucson's, it's just an old, worn-out surface. They patched it with concrete strips, and it needs to be the surface needs to be redone. It's like Havasu. The surface is so bad, it's really bad on tires.
Now, you said, Kern, you've never been on. Have you been on any half mile asphalt tracks with your late model?
Ran the late model at Irwindale.
Irwindale, okay.
Yeah.
So you ran the series there.
I ran the old Mesa Marin when they had
that's
it.
Right.
Yeah. Actually ran my Southwest Tour car at Phoenix. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So you got experience
the
on the half mile, so
yeah.
That's not the issue. Do you think the modifieds are okay on those half mile tracks? The ones that
you want my honest opinion on that? Some people may not like what I say,
and I probably think the way you do on this.
Those cars aren't built to go that fast.
Right.
I mean, they'll go that fast, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But if you get turned sideways and somebody hits you in the pass, there's no passenger side to those cars.
Right.
You will have their motor in your lap.
Right.
I mean,
and we've talked about that before.
The same thing Doug Hamm said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not the only one. It's a flying track.
Yeah. Irwindale or Kern, either one, or you take Vegas. If somebody turns you sideways and somebody hits you halfway down the straightaway, it's going to hurt you.
Not going to be.
When you look at modified, is no right side to them cars. There's nothing there to protect you, you know. And they're not the safest car out there. They're built to go fast, and that's what they do.
Right, and that's good for, like, the short tracks, I think, like the Havasus. And, you know, I guess pushing it with the Vegas 3/8-mile tracks. But seems like Orange Show and maybe Havasu and those tracks are
Salt Lake puts on. Yeah, that's a nice track watch them run at.
It's unfortunate, but – and people may – drive me for saying this, but most tracks and sanctioning bodies are reactive.
Right.
When someone gets hurt, we need to fix this.
We'll fix this or change this.
Yeah.
Right. And that's all the way up the ranks to top level of NASCAR.
Yeah.
You know, they're more reactive for the most part when an incident happens.
But, you know, if you're a competitor, We all get sitting in cars and go race them knowing that we can get hurt.
Sure.
You know. But, yeah, when somebody does – there's been people hurt on some of the faster dirt tracks in modifieds. And the dirt mod guys, they're even more about lightweight cars.
Being aggressive, more aggressive, I think, on dirt than you see on asphalt. Do you see some of the differences? Like, speaking of wrecks, nobody likes to wreck, but we've all been in them. The dirt versus the asphalt, either, hitting the wall or running into other cars, the momentum's different, I think, on dirt than it is on asphalt.
It depends. I mean, you take a track that's got a lot of clay and it's tacky, where you lift just long enough to set the car and you stick the throttle back down. I mean, say 95% of the time you're going around a tacky track with your foot stuck to the floor. Hauling butt. On a paved track, you'll never go 90% full throttle. It just ain't going to happen. And you'll take pavement racing, you always get a peak straightaway speed. Get that peak speed. You take the average, a heavy clay track, you can go just as fast, if not faster, average speed. So, you take like some of the bigger half-mile dirt tracks there are in the country that are tacky, they're fast. So, kind of comparing them, it just depends. Now, when they dry slick, I'll take Perm, for example. When it's tacky, you could probably run a 13-second lap on that track.
Wow.
When it goes dry slick, you're probably a 16 to 17 second
lap.
Wow,
that big a difference.
Yes, it'll slow down that much. I mean, it does that.
Interesting. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Keep that in mind when I watch these guys race their bombers. No.
always like those slick tracks.
The slick tracks are more fun.
Yeah. When's the last time you've been on dirt? It's been a little while, hasn't it?
Yeah, we ran a few dirt races last year.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, I just... I put a new motor in the car and the kid called me and asked if it was still for sale. I told him, you can have the car with all the spare parts that go with it. I'll go to the first race with you, help you out, show you how to adjust it. And you're on your own. So, it was a heck of a deal. I mean, and it's a good car. It's a proven car. It's won, my best year, I won 22 main events in 1 year with that car.
Is that all? That's it? No. Right. No, that's something, with that type of car and your type of driving, the patience and all that you have, it's just crazy. You think it would obviously start showing here in the asphalt coming up as you get the setup down and all that. So we're looking forward to it. I know I am, seeing you kind of creep up. Hey, where'd Mark come from? How do you get this? How do you get second, And then before you know it, you're up front. So.
Yeah, that's what's been a little frustrating is there's been times with this new car thinking, man, I wish I had my dirt car. I think it's faster.
Right, you kind of know the feel of that a lot more. Now, that's pretty cool. You ever, speaking of the dirt, do you have the itch to go do any dirt racing maybe this year?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's on my schedule to run some dirt.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Actually, the dirt motor's in the engine room. I'm freshening it up.
Oh,
without an engine builder here locally.
You're doing everything yourself.
It's just time-consuming, both my crew guys are getting old. We're all getting old, and it's just,
They're probably not going to...
say that again.
Who are your crew guys that help you out?
What's that?
Who helps you out now?
Kirk and Glenn. We went to high school together. Yeah. We've been racing this time.
Kirk's still... Just
yeah, Kirk helps me out.
Okay.
He does. He actually put the body on the new modified. Mounted the body up on that. So, and Glenn he's just the motorhead like the rest of us, and enjoys going to the races. And he just like, oh boy, I'm going to the races.
Do you guys like pick a young guy at the track, saying, okay, if I get a flat, go get that guy over there to come change our tire. that's what these guys should do. Yeah, it's always tough when you're at the track and you're trying to hustle and all that. And who spots for you? Is it
Glenn usually
Glenn
does. We don't talk much on the radio. I've done it for so long.
Right.
There's not. If you listened in, you'd think, well, God, they don't say much.
Do you think that's could be a hindrance too, though, when you got that many modifieds on the track? Like, if you had somebody that was kind of more proactive, or do you think that'd be kind of interfering with what you already know?
No. The problem with these pavement modifieds, the mirrors are worthless.
Okay.
The way the bodies are on them, you pretty much have to rely on your spotter to let you know. But so many years of running the dirt cars without a mirror, you kind of got a feel of about where somebody's at.
Right, kind of.
So,
in the corners, you kind of.
Yeah, I'm probably giving up a little more than I should because I'm new to the series. I don't want to run into anybody or cause any problems. And so I try to stay out of the way. Yeah. But it seems it's a fun series. Like you say, there's some real competitive guys in there.
How about cost versus the equipment that you have? I know, depending on who you talk to, it can get expensive, obviously, in that series. It's a traveling series, so you're going to expect to spend some money.
Yeah.
But the equipment and all that.
It doesn't cost any more. I tell people, a legend car, a modified, a late model, they all cost about the same.
Right.
Tires, the seat, the steering wheel, all the pieces are just a little smaller on a legend car, but they still cost. The traveling series, it's not really a one set of tires per race. A lot of guys buy two sets. They hot lap on one set, kind of dial the car in. You have to race on the set you qualify on. And the rule is you have to qualify, have four new ones. So, you know, you're going to buy four tires every race minimum.
Is that I don't think they required that in the past, but they do require you have to buy a new set.
You have
every
to qualify
race.
On four new tires.
Okay.
That's what was indicated to me. I've never tried it. The tires lose so much when you cycle them one time.
Anyways,
you wouldn't qualify. You wouldn't make the race if you tried to qualify on a used set of tires. It would be impossible, I think.
Right, and they're running 100 laps, 75 laps out anyways. So
you might get a guy like an Austin Barnes, somebody that's fast up front. He probably could qualify into the A main, but he'd be mid pack or worse. And why would you do that to yourself?
Yeah. How's the tire selection when you're out there? Pretty decent, for the most part.
Yeah, the way the rules are, so far they go by point order. The first race, we got the previous point standing, so we got last. But even going last, we still got a decent set of tires. Tucson, the tire, by the time we got our set, they were getting a little sparse on the side, but we still were able to get what we thought we needed. The only thing I think is kind of unfair is the guy that's first in points, there's no limit to how many tires he can buy. He goes in, picks out two sets, three sets,
whatever, how many sets.
Next guy in, next buy in. So, you know,
instead of letting everybody
get one set. And then that's been suggested. It's been suggested that they do a draw system at each race. So far, they've had plenty enough tires in the size that you need. We've been able to get what we need. So, you know, I haven't heard much complaining about that.
Okay.
But I've heard stories where that some tracks – well, when we went to Salt Lake City with the other guy's car, we didn't know. We showed up on Saturday, not Friday, went to the tire barn, and they didn't have any stack.
Wow.
All the tires were the same size, and there was only about a dozen of them left.
Which end up, did you race?
Yeah, we just bought four tires and did the best we could with them. But that's all part of that series.
Right.
You know, so far, and it's not written in stone, but the tires go on sale at 2:00 on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not there, you get what's left.
And you can't do any pre-ordering, anything like that.
It's just they show up with whatever they got, and that's what you're going to get.
Wow.
So, you know, so far, like I say, they've had an abundance of tires, so it's been fine. But it's hard as a promoter for that series. How many tires do they bring?
Right.
You know, how many cars are going to show up? They try to get a head count on cars.
Right.
They kind of got an idea about how many guys buy one or set or two sets or three sets. But anytime you don't regulate, and that's what I liked about the Rocky Mountain series. You bought the first race, here's your six tires.
Mm-hmm.
You have, at that event, if you hot lap, anything you did, you better have four of those six on your car.
Wow.
So you had to watch your tire wear. So a guy that had an unlimited budget, he couldn't go going and buying three or four sets of tires to hot lap. They wouldn't let you hot lap on them.
Wow.
Now, you could rent the track in the middle of the week and test, but race to race, it put the lower-funded guys on the same playing field as the high-funded guys.
Interesting.
That's what I like that series. It's up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho at State Line Speedway. That's how they're run. Wow. If you go out on that track on race day, you better have one of them tires. It's six on opening night and two tires every race after that.
Okay.
So, again, you got to watch your tire work because you run the first race, you put wear on four tires.
You're right.
You got two tires. Do you put those two new ones on or do you wait?
Wait till the
you
next.
Know? Yeah. So you, and then, again, how you practice and stuff. Now, on Friday night, they say the rule is you can come practice on anything you want.
I see.
But race day, you got to have the race tires on there. Hmm. So it kind of puts the lower funded guys on an more even playing field,
right?
Essentially.
No, that's a good idea. I mean, that's the whole idea is to kind of even the field.
Most people that race know the biggest expense, other than your initial purchase of the car and the motor, is race to races and tires.
Tires, yeah.
And I watched an ARCA race at Nashville where these guys went 200 laps on one set of tires.
Wow.
They're made by another company. It's not Hoosier and it's not Goodyear. It's somebody else.
Some other company. Wow.
Yeah. But as a racer, I would love to buy four brand new tires at the beginning of the year and run a 20 race series and be fast the same all 20 races.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the problem is the promoters are selling the tires.
You're right.
It's another revenue to generate money.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's business. I was just going to say that. It's business. You got to make money, you know.
Yeah. The only thing is, most people that are in business, the guy like in that movie Other People's Money talked about the buggy whip company. Yeah, you may make the best buggy whip, but nobody has a buggy anymore.
Right.
You know, if you're not smart enough to see where racing's headed and maybe be the first guy to step up and say, you know what, I want a tire that I can sell to my guys and they can run all year on. I'd rather have 40 guys show up to race and buy one set of tires for the whole year than mess around with 8, 10, 12 guys every race showing up, you know. I mean, you hear it on the NASCAR channel, on XM radio, you hear, we all see the stands at the cup races.
Oh, yeah.
You know, attendance is a big thing. Well, it trickles down to short track racing.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the attendance is down everywhere. I mean, and everybody sees NASCAR changing the format, trying to come up with a way to generate more interest in their sport.
Exactly.
You know, and I should have brought it there. We were back in Washington a couple of weeks ago, Washington, D.C., when Junior made his announcement. It was a front page of the Washington Post sports section. The guy wrote an article that's very interesting on what happened to NASCAR, and I think he hit it right on the head.
No kidding. I'll have to look for that.
I got it at the house.
Okay.
I'll have to send it to you.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
When you read it, it'll make sense to you.
Cool.
Everything that's happened. But, again, businesses change. You got to be able to change with your market. And, you know, you got to give a head nod to NASCAR. They're trying.
You know, maybe they wait. You know, it's change is hard for any business, no matter what. But if you don't change something, you don't know what's going to happen. Your outcome's going to be no change if you don't do anything. So,
yeah, it's unfortunate that a lot of the short tracks are run old school.
Right.
I mean, when was the last time you went to a racetrack as a fan and they handed out a questionnaire?
Right.
Do you think the promoters really know who those people are in their stand? Do they know the age group? Do they know their, you know? I remember years ago, at least once a year, they'd hand out a little questionnaire, maybe 10 questions. Your age, you know, other hobbies you have, how often you come to the race, just to get a demographic on what they're dealing with.
Yep.
You know, how can you go after a market when you don't even know what it is? One of the best things I saw at the Bullring, and it's been a few years, they did a thing called Fan Appreciation Night out there.
Mm-hmm.
It was free to get in. I heard
that's a bad word, by the way, for tracks. It seems like right?
When I didn't know. I went there to the track, and the stands were, I would say, pushing 90% full. They claim the Bullring holds, 7,000 or 8,000 people?
Yeah, about 7,000.
So say it holds 7,000. There were 6,000 people there. You looked, did I miss? Is there fireworks or something? And somebody said, oh, no, it's fan appreciation. Hey, that showed you there's a fan base out there.
Absolutely.
Okay? They came. The promoters should have figured out, okay, now how do I get them to come back? There they are.
You got them in the seat.
Yeah.
You got them past the gates. Now how do you get them back?
Yeah, the simplest thing could have been, hey, here's a 50% discount for the next race.
Right.
See if it's a money thing. You know, start trying things. You see, a demographics. How do you know what you're trying to market to if you don't even know who they are?
Absolutely.
You know, we know a large percentage of the people that sit in the stands are affiliated.
Exactly.
My relatives, my
friends, family,
yeah.
People
you
like
work
that.
With.
They,
right.
You probably got at least five people that come with every car, if not more, you know, typically.
And we as racers, we're partially to blame for some of that. You know, we go, well, the racer's easy to brush off. Well, the promoter never advertised. I don't hear no radio spots. I don't see no flyers. I don't see none of this. My answer to that is, if you were walking down Broadway and you went by a theater,
right.
And the actor was standing in front of the theater telling you this is a crummy place. The seating's bad. The view's bad. The audio's bad. The show's bad. You're going to walk on by.
Yeah, you're not going in.
If that guy's out there and he's maybe doing a little skit out of the show and he's telling you how great it is, the audio's great, everything, you know, I'll go check that out.
Might want to.
So the racers are the best promoters. When a racer says, well, the track doesn't ever do anything, how often do you go tell your friends to come to the track?
Right.
There was years ago a promoter that ran the bowling when it first opened, used to give 4 passes to all the drivers.
Yep, right. Oh, yeah.
And he'd tell them, this isn't for your family. Go give it to new people.
Somebody else.
Try to give your sponsors. Try to get new people. The problem was most of the racers took them and gave them to their
family.
they didn't grasp the concept of, you know,
getting new blood in there. Exactly.
It's a vicious circle because the racers will complain, well, the purse isn't good enough. That's why the car count goes down. Well, the promoter, if he doesn't have any fans, he ain't got no purse.
You're right.
I've always been an advocate, and I showed him on paper. I actually did a spreadsheet once where I raced for a percentage of the gate. That way, you know, it's like going to work for a company and then making you a partner. You get a piece of the pie. You know, I'd rather race for a percentage of the gate because I'm going to help you get them people in there.
Yeah, you become a promoter. Yeah,
I want
to hire their percentage.
The more people you get.
Yeah.
And I showed them what some numbers based on like 800 people, 1,500 people. You could even have a better purse and a better point fund if you went that way than, you know, and racers, again, sometimes we're real diehard stubborn.
Right.
Oh, I want a guaranteed purse.
See,
okay.
If I pay this, I want this.
Yeah, here's your $300 guaranteed to win.
Yeah.
Have a nice day. You know, of course, the promoter loves that. Then he knows what he's going to pay.
Yeah, it's like subbing out work. You know what you're going to pay your subs, so you know what your profit's going to be already ahead of time. But the percentage is obviously a...
Yeah, human and incentive is like dangling a carrot in front of someone. We know how, in everyday workforce, you give somebody an incentive to work a little harder, they'll generally do that.
Right.
So there's ways that the short tracks can fix themselves or help themselves, but you still got to put on a good show.
Right.
It's hard to do with 6 or 8 cars.
Yep.
You know,
and I guess that also transfers over into like these different series, like the Lucas Oil Modifieds or the SRL Spears, series. You know, they're out there, they're doing their own promotions and all that because, you know, they're a business also, but they're also trying to get the car counts in. So, they're talk to anybody in these series, they're always happy, it seems like. You know, there's a couple guys that might not always be happy, but and that's in any series. But most of them are happy to be in these different series.
Yeah. Well, that's what I liked about the Lucas series because Greg and Bill, of course, Bill runs Havasu.
Right.
They do anything for you. Yeah. They're happy with, you know, to see you. They come around 2-3 times during the evening and just chit chat with
make
you.
Make sure you got everything you need and all that.
And that series is run the same way. They're very friendly. Right. They're helpful. Going through tech, my car wasn't perfect. Hey, you got to fix these things.
Right.
You know, they understand it. You know, and that makes a difference.
They're obviously from a racing background their whole life. So. and some of that does transfer obviously into what we see day to day with that. And, you know, it's good to see a series like that survive and all that. But real quick, you want to take a break at all?
Sure.
Then we'll come back. We're going to talk about, we'll go through our sponsors and then let you go through any of your sponsors, Mark. And then, of course, if you're just joining us, we've got Mark Allison here, Lucas Oil Modified racer and a long list of racing behind his in his background. So, but we'll see you right after the break.
I'm Mark Allison, and you're listening to OnWheelsNow.com.
I'm Phil Goodwin, and you're listening to OnWheelsNow.com. See you at the races.
BomberNation.com is your website for all the latest local racing news. If you are a race car owner, a driver, or a passionate fan of racing, the BomberNation.com is the site you'll want to add to your favorites list. Check out the message board, track schedules, special events, links, and our sponsors. The Bomber Nation, one sport under one nation. TheBomberNation.com.
Gentlemen!
The sound of On Wheels Now, every Tuesday at 6 p.m.
If you like cars,
the smell of gasoline and rubber,
or just love motorsports and auto racing,
On Wheels Now is your inside look at local motorsports. So don't miss the action. We'll keep you in the loop with the latest local racing news.
We're race car drivers, too. So join me, Michael.
And Mike, Tuesday at 6 p.m. Find us at OnWheelsNow.com.
Nevada Pick Apart.
Who?
Nevada Pick Apart. Do you have a used car or a truck just sitting in the driveway taking up space, looking ugly and tired of looking at it? Are you moving and can't take your car or truck with you? Did you buy a new car or truck and want to get rid of the old one? Contact Nevada Pick Apart, 702-644-1881. That's 702-644-1881. Sell Nevada Pick Apart your used or old vehicle and see it gone tomorrow.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
Welcome back to On Wheels Now. This is your the inside look at locomotive sports. This is the Racers Roundtable, where racers, race fans, and race officials can get together and just talk about local racing. So we like to do. We got Mark Allison in here talking about local racing. But real quick, before we get too far, let's talk about some sponsors real quick. That keeps us all going in circles. So let's hear Jay here.
Yeah, I want to thank Steve Burke Steve at Nevada Pick Apart, Anthony at Camp Out, Mike at Reliable Banner, Phil and Jim at Pickup Theater, Daniel at Best Muffler, and Ken Watson at Roadrunner Engine Parts. And don't want to forget,
speaking of Ken Watson, I just heard today that he has been in the hospital. So
Ken.
Yep. Speedy
that's
recovery
not good.
To him. Yep.
Yeah.
I just heard today. So
can't race when you're in the hospital. So.
That's right.
That's for sure. I want to thank Vegas Valley Fleet and Auto, Electrostatic Painting, Eddie and Dylan over there, Tommy Kohler at Macco Tools, and one of our new ducks out there, our mascot, Mr. Rob Street at Rob Street Racing.
Cool. And Mark, before we get too far, you got any sponsors you want to?
Oh, the usual ones, K&N, and of course, Steve Burke.
Yeah.
he helped me with that. The pavement modified came kind of from a deal with Steve.
Oh, no,
that's
kidding.
How that whole thing
cool.
transpired. So I got to thank Steve for that.
Can we get Steve back out on the track? Is there any way to get him back on the track? I don't think there is, but I'd like to see him
having kids.
He's out there still having kids.
Yes,
but that's why he needs to be back on the track. He can't have more kids.
Last time I talked to Steve, he was into the side-by-sides and just
right.
enjoying life.
Off-road.
Probably the smarter than of all of us.
Well, because these guys were talking about camping and boating, and
you know, at one time he was into planes.
Yeah,
flying those single little ultralights.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he survived that one.
Yeah, I think he was out in Nelson,
somewhere,
and it fell. And he had to dig it out of some weeds, and I think that was the last time he flew it.
He got lucky. I knew a guy when I was living in California that used to fly those, and whatever they call it, a thermal downdraft or whatever, and it paralyzed him for life.
Oh.
But he was in one of his ultralights. So.
Well, they say just 1/2-inch bolt holds the motor to it. That's not very
safe. That sounds like half the bombers out here at the track you guys race. What's up with that?
Steve's been instrumental in helping me all for many years. So my hats off to him. But Hypercoil,
they take care of me on springs. Cool. Speedway Engineering helps me with the rear ends. We've switched now. We're looking at, I haven't made the switch 100% yet, but we may go from the Bilsteins to the Foxes.
That's what you were talking about.
Yeah.
That one time.
Bill and them at Fox want me to swap over to the Fox shocks. When those guys left Bilstein and went to Fox,
right.
my Bilstein deal
kind of
wasn't quite as good as it was when they were there.
Right.
You know, so, but yeah, we're thinking in real serious about making that move.
Will you be the only Fox shock in the series?
I don't know. I have no idea what anybody else
right.
even runs.
I was just curious. Cause I know when guys run, I mean, the shock package in that.
The Integras seem to be the shock
the Integras, that's, yeah.
that most everybody runs.
Right. I think
yeah.
you're right.
That's they have a good program. That's what's on the modified now. That's what Dana set
oh,
it
okay.
up with. But Bill and them at Fox, they'll build me anything that
well,
we need. So
it'll be interesting to see once you get
yeah.
all that stuff dialed in and a whole new package starting up. So hey, kind of before we get too far along, was that it for the
yeah,
sponsor? We'll try to mention them again at the end of the show, but kind of along the lines of the tracks and stuff, we want to talk about the LVMS this weekend. It's packed the track night, which means they're $5 tickets, half price, right?
Half
these
price,
are,
yes.
They're 10
half,
bucks,
yeah,
so 10 they're,
bucks.
They're trying
children
to get...
Children under 12, still free.
So, and real quick, too, if you want to call in and ask Mark Allison a question or give JJ
yeah,
a hard
sure.
time, you can call
702-485-4699. That's 702-485-4699. Or you might want to call in and congratulate Mark Allison for his third place points finish down in Havasu this past winter series. So
in the late models?
Yeah, cool. And his number five late model, 5M late model.
And
so
on that same note.
Congratulations on that.
On that same note, with that same number, we got some tickets to give
yep.
away for this weekend also. So if you want to call and ask a question or you just want to call in and say, hey, give me some tickets.
Yeah.
We got a couple of tickets for
we'll
you.
Get
so.
Gary to answer the phone, take your information, get your phone number, and we'll call you back where to pick up tickets. Once again, 702-485-4699. Get some tickets.
Hey, and while,
free
we're,
tickets.
And while we're on LVMS, of course, 3 weeks in a row, there's been races this past weekend. Coming up this weekend, the pack track night, and then Lucas Oil Modified's coming
with
in town on the 20th.
Yep, with the SRL series
right.
coming.
That's
going to
be a great night of racing on the 20th. But I want to talk a little bit about this past race. I mean, it was a fun race. I think one of the best races of the night, I thought, was the Superstock races again. They're up to 9 cars in that series, and really they're really pretty equal to each other right now. Some pretty cool racing in that series right now. Hopefully that starts building up. It's the old Hobby Stock series. Out
Charger.
There, some Charger stocks,
Charger.
Whatever they've been calling them. So, but then the bomber race was interesting. What happened, Jay?
I missed a super stock race. I was in lineup. So
he's taking the fifth on this one. Okay.
I didn't catch the super stock race.
I'm just curious about the rumor. Does JJ use that car for the Uber driving thing during the week?
He does, but he only picks up the
Rob
Street.
He only picks up Rob on the front trip. That's a heck of an idea. Race it on Saturday,
Uber
the week.
The week, right? Make money and you know, that's every
make
racer's
racing
dream.
Money.
Exactly. Yeah, if you're in the sport,
that's somebody else now, Mr. Rob Street. You got something else coming. I'm getting my shoes broke from a third person now.
Hey. That means there's three people that may or may not like you. I don't know.
Oh, no, we love JJ.
Okay. There was no sarcasm in that at all.
Not at all.
So we're not talking about the bomber race, but it was a great super stock race. Super late model race was great this past weekend. You know, Kaylee kind of got freight trained
yeah.
back a little ways.
She won
but,
her first pole.
Yeah.
And with the car on the pole.
Congratulations to Ron Barker for finally putting his daughter on a pole.
Just like we should.
That's right.
The right way.
The right way. Yes.
On
right.
the pole. Very,
on the pole.
Very yeah. difficult to raise a young girl in Las Vegas.
That's right.
There's the right pole and there's the bad pole.
Well, she was on the right one. Yes.
So. Yeah, she had a fast car. I was looking forward to seeing her, you know, maybe make a dent up front. But she got freight trained.
Unfortunately,
she got Vegas.
But I spoke to Ron at the truck stop after the race. You know how they did it? Tire management. You can ask him.
Hey, okay.
One day we'll have Ron in, and it's tire management.
If I'm not mistaken, that's a Dana Stahl car.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Fast car. You know, she's always up there. It's just a couple times she's been, you know, because twice this past weekend she had to do a restart on the outside, you know, you're going to lose two or three positions right off the bat.
And it got brought to my attention that both team cars started first and second, which was Kaylee in the 20 car.
Stan Mullis.
Yeah.
And another fast car.
Yeah. So they started first and second. So that's what Ron was saying.
Cool. Hey, real quick, too, this coming weekend on the Pack the Track night, I noticed something weird, and maybe it's happened in the past, but the Friday night practice and the race, there are no U.S. LCI divisions racing.
No, they have the week of.
I mean, when's the last time you remember them having that a whole night of just stock cars racing?
Yep.
It's usually
Friday
the Legends.
Friday is a whole
night
of practice out there, yeah.
Right, from 6:30 p.m. all the way to 11
yep.
p.m. That's going to be a lot of practice time.
You get a lot of practice time.
It'd be a good
there.
Night to go out to the track and practice. So.
And bring out the Lucas Oil Modified, Mark. Get
bring out the late model.
Actually, we're prepping the late model right now to go up the state line.
To do that, you're right.
Yeah. We're going to leave the car up there. They've got a shop right there at the track that it'll stay in. And Mike, my engine builder, he's going to take care of it for me, do everything and maintenance on it.
Do they have practice nights before the season?
Yeah, they have.
Okay.
I've never run that track. I've seen it there. Okay. I went there for a test session with somebody else and helped them work the car out once, but I've never drove it, so I'm kind of looking forward to it. They get a pretty good feel of the late models. They, from what I understand, kind of like Havasu, it's a 3/8 mile track, but they same kind of bunch of guys. They race together. They put on a good race.
Right.
They don't tear their cars up week in and week out. They kind of got it figured out how to race without tearing them up, and I like that. So.
And you get to kind of be a bush by flying up there and back. Oh. Just go get in your own car and race, fly back home.
Well, it's the drive. Work has got me swamped right now, so I couldn't spend the extra time driving. I had to basically threaten them just to take a vacation. We went to Niagara Falls for 2 days. We went to Atlantic City.
Nice.
And went over to Washington, D.C. We had a great time.
That was a great trip.
How was Niagara Falls? I've always wanted to go. I used to live in Michigan. Never been to Niagara Falls.
Yeah, we went and my girlfriend, I love her to death. She booked the whole thing.
Wow.
We stayed on the Canadian side. You know, she does her research. The Canadian side was way better
than
the American side.
No.
So, the women booked the vacation.
Yeah,
all you
exactly.
Do is
right.
Just go along.
Go
okay.
Ahead.
Where are we going?
They got your pocketbook right now.
No, she booked everything.
Cool.
We did the whole Washington D.C. tour thing.
Nice.
Went all the Smithsonian.
Oh, yeah. I've done that before. Too.
Yeah. We actually stayed at the Capitol Inn Hotel. We were two blocks, I want to say, west and like three blocks south of the Capitol building, so we were walking distance of everything.
That's really cool. Did you do the hop on hop off bus thing? Or?
No, we rode the metro. She knew how to do that. Once
yeah.
I figured that out, that was
getting
pretty
in
cool.
And out with the metro.
Yeah,
great.
The
metro's
pretty slick. But
yeah,
she has the walking thing.
Oh
we
yeah,
walked
the Fitbit
between
thing.
On an average about 10 miles a day.
No kidding.
We went back to the Lincoln Memorial at night because it lit up. It was cool. Arlington Cemetery was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
We went watched the changing of the guards and all of that. And it was Arlington's an interesting place. We went to all the Vietnam, World War II, and Korea war memorials. They were pretty cool. I didn't realize it's an active cemetery. They have 30 burials a day.
Wow.
And they get full color. So in our tour, we had to stop and wait for the wagon and the horses and the coffin
through,
with the flag and the band and the 21-gun salute and all that. So it was
interesting. That's
but the changing of the guards is really cool. We actually went to Ford Theater and did the Lincoln thing. We went to Mount Vernon, Washington's house. We were busy.
It works. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, we had a really good, excellent
trip.
Time.
The museums alone you can do five miles in. Yeah. Real easy. The museums, the aerospace museum, the museum of natural history, American museum. It's just endless over there when I took my daughter. But it's educational.
Yeah.
It's a learning experience, Washington, D.C.
It is. What we learned in school from our history teacher and what you learn there, whole new game.
Two different worlds.
Yes,
it
is. It
is pretty amazing. Yeah, when you're there and actually experiencing everything. Do you get outside, do any local restaurants or anything there?
That's my girlfriend's all about, local restaurants.
Yep.
We went someplace different every night.
You know, one thing I try to go get when I'm there the whole time are their crab pretzels. They're soft pretzels, and they have like their own, it's a D.C. thing, and they do like a crab topping cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's so good with it. And I don't drink beer that often, and you got to have that with a beer. It's just a good combo. Well, I do that twice.
We actually went out on a boat into Chesapeake Bay.
Nice.
And I guess there's a time of year they catch the blue crabs.
Yep.
And the meat special.
Yep.
Well, the crab cakes, I'm not a food person so much, but crab cakes, the question is you ask, do they have fillers in them? Other types of meat.
Right.
They're 100% no fillers.
Yep.
They were amazing. The crab cakes there were like just
top
excellent.
Of the line.
Now you're eating. I grew up grabbing blue claws off Long Island, New York, man.
Yeah.
Speaking your language now, right?
Oh, yeah. Crabby. And that's what I mean. It's just crab. No breadcrumbs, no nothing in them. Just crab meat.
Meat, yes.
Yep.
But my girlfriend she's super. She asks for a window when I'm not racing.
Right.
That's when we're going on vacation.
Good girl, right?
Yeah.
She don't say, hey, you got to not race this weekend. She's asking you, what window do you have? We can actually go on vacation, right?
Yeah.
Gary can kind of relate to that.
We did the same thing last year. We went to Alaska, and she said, when can we go? Here we go. So every year she kind of picks a new place to go, and it's fun.
Well, it's good to get away and kind of see different things. And then you're doing the kind of a U.S. thing and all that. And
It helps to get away from the racing a little bit, free your mind up, and then come back and start over again.
Oh, yeah. Especially when you start looking at the hobby as a money pit, You start throwing money, guess what? It's not an investment. It's a thing to do, keep you busy after – hard days at work and all that, but the vacations in between, man, make a difference.
Yeah.
So, and all these guys have talked about that.
Yeah, I still enjoy going home and going out in the shop and playing with things. The guys at work, I took a piece of, they call it number 16 rebar. It's like 2 inches in diameter.
Oh, big, yeah.
And I put it on the mill and did some work to it and machined it all, and I took it back to work the next day, and I go,
the hell?
Yeah,
is that rebar?
They're like, man, that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
So yeah, some days I don't work on the race car. I just goof around with stuff just to entertain myself.
And your girlfriend, that's why she does the vacations, because that's the 2 weeks out of the year she can actually spend time with you.
That's true.
Unless she knows how to run a lathe, then she can spend time. You
or
need to teach her how to run a lathe or
a
metal bender or drill press.
She'd be a pit crew member. You got to kind of work your hours in however you need to.
Life is a balance.
Exactly, right?
Keep everything balanced.
So, yeah, pretty crazy. But, I thought that was pretty interesting out here at LVMS that they didn't have any the U.S., the old legends and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be great. Bomber breakout race this weekend, though, right?
Is there?
Yes.
Yeah. You guys looking forward to that?
Yes.
What do you think of like a breakout race like they have? It's a timed race. You can't go past.
Can't go over 20 seconds in a lap.
The first time I watched one, I didn't know that's what they were doing.
They were bunched up racing.
Yeah, I'm
like, hey, these are racing.
These guys are really good at it,
right?
I was like amazed how well they raced and how
right.
tight they were. Like, what the heck? And somebody goes, well, it's a breakout race. I'm like, what are you talking
what is
about?
That, right?
It makes it interesting. And again,
I like them. I either think they should all be breakout races or maybe no breakout races, one or the other.
But that's where, like, NASCAR and changing things, find something that the fans like. The boat races, the demolition derbies, the things that bring, sometimes you got to have that carnage.
Oh,
they want to see that.
Well, exactly. It's entertainment. The problem with, like, the last few years or so, I think, is with car counts being down and all that, you start getting these divisions where they spread out, there's too many differences between the first place guy and the last place guy, and it becomes boring. And
yeah,
I find myself being bored at certain, you know, and I love racing, you know, and you just get bored sometimes. And
there's series I've run in before where if you're stinking up the show, the promoter will go tap on your spotter and tell your guy, tell him to slow down.
Oh,
I don't want my show
really
stunk up.
What do you think of that, though? Is that fair to the guy that's just figured it out? You know, I mean, it's, you're there for entertainment. That's part of the deal. You know, you're there as a racer. You got your own equipment and all that. But
it's a tough balance.
You can understand the promoter's point in saying, hey, you know, you're running away with it. You're way faster. Let's tighten it up a little bit. But I don't know. That's a tough answer to question to answer.
Yeah, there was a point when we were really dominant at Mojave, and the promoter threw an extra $100 at me if I'd start in the back.
Smart.
If I could win there from the go. Back, I'm like, I'll take that.
I'll take the $100, yeah.
Well, about three races in a row, he quit doing that.
No way.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not doing that no more.
Because he kept losing money, right?
Losing money.
Can you start further in the back? No.
Yeah, well, it's something, I mean, you want to put on a show. It's, well,
I mean,
it's
full inversion, I think, is one way to go.
It's what, you know, what the Bombers did before, and it was a full points invert with Gary and I. We discussed this over and over.
Right.
Okay, 3 points, three races in, you have a points. First starts last, second starts second to last, and so forth and so forth. If you don't have three races in, you start in the back. Okay? And that's how, you know, this gives the guy with the slow car, the inexperience, and that's what the Bomber division still is today, an entry-level division. Okay? It's a cheap form of racing. And if you do that, you do that invert,
it's cheap.
You're going to have, you're going to have the fans on their feet watching the fast guys in 10 laps meet the slow guys in the middle of the track.
Right.
All right. Then you find out who your drivers are and who your wreckers are. Okay. It's those guys with the fast cars that need to start in the back, and you put the rookies up front after three races, put the slow car, give
Wait
these
a
guys a chance.
Wait a minute.
So
you got rookie status this year.
Yeah.
Is that why you're pushing for this? Both of you guys over here.
Yeah. Not at all.
I'm just joking. I'm just playing with you. But no, absolutely.
In my opinion, it puts on a show.
Right.
Okay. That's what I grew up with at Freeport Speedway.
Yeah.
Yeah. The points leaders always started in the rear.
Right.
I grew up at Craig Road Speedway.
Right.
There was pride in being the fast qualifier and starting at the back. And you learn to pass people. That's the way racing was. Somewhere along the way, it's gone the other way, where the fast guy thinks he should start on the pole, and they think it's a great race when they check out and lap half the field.
And I agree. I think fast guy in the back is the way to go, because
there's some big money races. I want to say the Montana 200, the Idaho 250, I think they call it. There's a bonus for the top qualifier to start at the back. It's like $5,000. You know, there's like $20,000-$30,000 to win races. But here's $5,000. Extra.
Who wouldn't want to start in the back, right? I mean, that's what it's about. You know, and points and all that, you know, passing points. I mean, different tracks try different things.
It's about putting on a show. You put on a show, and just like Mark said, promoter come over, hey, you're stinking up my show.
Right.
You know?
But a lot of the newer generation of racers don't want to start in the back. They say, well, my car gets tore up. You're driving it. If it gets tore up, you're telling me you can't pass people? That's the whole object behind racing.
Mark, hate to cut you off. You know, we got 90 seconds left or less now. We could do a whole nother hours and hours with you, so please come back. I know, you know, you're busy and all that right now, but we'd love to have you back as usual.
Yeah. I apologize about last week, but
no, that's
we're swamped at
that's
work.
Fine. Hey, we'll get you later on in the Lucas Oil season, see how you're doing, and we'll keep an eye on you, man.
Okay.
We'll see you guys at the LVMS this weekend at the Pack Your Track night. Half-price tickets, so come on out. If you're a fan, tell fans about it. Like Mark said, you know, hey, tell neighbors, tell everybody. So, and we'll see you next Tuesday here at On Wheels Now.
Yeah, May 20th, come out. Look for that number 115 modified, Lucas Oil modified, driven by Mark Allison. Thanks for coming in. Have a good day.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks for being here, Mark.
Thanks for listening.